Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. Number of years I was working the 9-to-5 job and decided that I needed a way to protect my family so that I didn't rely on a boss, you know, who could fire me at any moment and then I'd be out of a job and unable to provide for my family. So I wanted to create streams of passive income and cash flow that could cover my monthly bills and protect my family. In fact, we built a whole free download called the Freedom Cheat Sheet. It's totally free. It's like 3 pages. It's a PDF that you can download by going to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom. And you can go through in this cheat sheet and it'll help you figure out your monthly expenses and then how to start building financial freedom for you and your family. Totally free. It's the thing that changed my life. So now we give back on this show with a Q&A episode where you're able to call in and leave us a question via voicemail. And we attempt to answer it here on the show. You can go to the same website, just go to morrisinvest.com, and there's a microphone icon on the lower right-hand side of your screen where you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question. Okay, we are in the dog days of summer right now. It is smoking hot here in the middle of July, and so let's cool off a little bit with some good real estate questions today. Here, our first question comes to us from William.
Hello, sir, and good day. Appreciate you for having this opportunity to answer my question. I live in Austin, Texas, and I bought a home over 2 years ago and increased in value. My question is, I wanted to possibly pull some out to invest in real estate overseas, Mexico or to DR. My question is, but I was planning on moving in 4 or 5 years to an overseas country, and I was going to use that money from the house to purchase another home. I'm just wondering, do you think it's a good idea to pull the money out on a HELOC to invest in real estate during this time, or should I just leave it and find some other means of financial assistance with it? Thank you and appreciate your channel. It was very helpful. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, William. Very kind of you. And thank you so much for that great question. And I love this question. Let me sink my teeth into this. Overseas investing and thinking more broadly. Okay. The reason I like it is because, look, a lot of people have a very myopic view of their life and their circumstances. And they think, okay, I've been born in the United States and I can't go anywhere. Do you know that the United States, and I think the only other country in the world is Eritrea? There's 2 countries in the world, and I always get it wrong, but I think it's Eritrea, where if you move out of the United States, no matter, and you live, let's say you live now in Honduras for the next 20 years, and all of the money that you make in Honduras, it doesn't matter. The United States doesn't care. You will have to pay taxes in the United States. It's just the way it works. The United States will get you coming and going. And the same thing is true of like Eritrea. It's only 2 countries that if you move out of that country, you still have to pay taxes in that country. It's ridiculous. So now you're starting to think more broadly about the world. Now, where can you go that will treat you best? My friend Andrew Henderson, he's got a great channel called Nomad Capital. And he's a friend of ours, a friend of the channel here. And one of the things he likes to say is go where you're treated best, right? He grew up in the United States and he moved out of the United States and he renounced his citizenship and moved, right? And the reason he did that is because he wasn't treated best there. He wanted to go where he could start a business and not be taxed like crazy, didn't feel like his money was going to funding wars around the world and all of these things. That was his decision. So when you think about where you're going to move, William, you might be thinking, okay, well, Mexico. Mexico actually has one of the best passports in the world. A lot of people don't know that. Germany also, but Germany, you know, then you're in the EU and that's a little bit of a different situation. Where can you go where you're going to get residency program as well as citizenship, maybe even through investment? Now, a number of countries provide investment opportunity citizenship, like in the course of like Colombia and Mexico And there are other countries around the world, the country of Georgia, Montenegro, that offer citizenship and residency programs through investment. So then think about that. You've got an American passport, but adding a second passport, we see the value of that after the pandemic, where people were told that they couldn't travel because they had a certain type of passport. They had an American passport, so they couldn't travel. Well, what if you had a second passport from Mexico or from the country of Georgia or another, a Caribbean country? All I'm saying is start thinking bigger, guys. Think bigger about this, okay? Don't just think Puerto Rico, because that's a U.S., you know, that's a U.S. territory. And yes, there's tax benefits right now in Puerto Rico, and a lot of billionaires in Manhattan have done that move to Puerto Rico, and they've done that investment, and they've moved down there 6 months and a day so that they don't have to pay taxes. But that's going to change, okay? That is absolutely going to change. And in a meeting I had recently, on that exact question, number of people who've done that said, no, it's not going to last very much longer. Congress is already looking at it. So don't think about Puerto Rico, okay? Get that out of your head right now. Think about other countries and think about investing strategically, where you could both get residency and citizenship and make a purchase on real estate, which would actually be a great return on investment. After all, we want to create streams of cash flow and we want to create passive income. So you don't just want to throw money away, but you want to do it strategically. So in Mexico, in the country of Colombia, has a path to citizenship through investment. I'm just throwing out different ideas. There's a number of different countries that operate and have these opportunities, William. So if you're thinking about even moving, like if you're thinking about moving to Mexico and you're going to invest there, then you also work towards getting that second passport, which offers one of the best passports in the world. You know, people like to crap on Mexico a lot, but they don't know what they're talking about, okay? So just think strategically about this. But I love what you're thinking. So yes, I absolutely would be thinking about investing in real estate. You could do it in the United States, even as an expat. It doesn't matter. But then you're going to be paying taxes on that in the United States. So think about this all strategically, okay? And setting up an LLC, there's different teams that can help you with all of this. So I love that question. That's what I think, the first question like that we've had here on the show, and I loved it. Thank you, William. Good luck to you.
Hi, Clayton. This is Peter. I have a question for you about using our HELOC. I know that you recommend using one, and I have a HELOC and for up to $200,000 against my house. But my question is, how much of it would you recommend using, and how quickly would you recommend paying back that HELOC? I know that it's kind of sensitive because you're using a HELOC against your primary residence, at least in my case. So I wanted to ask for your recommendation. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Peter. So again, I've written a whole book on this subject. I would encourage you to go to Amazon and buy it. I think it's $4.99. So for the price of a cup of coffee, it's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. There's a lot of imitators out there that tried to copy us. Don't pay attention to those guys. Pay attention to the blue cover book. That's the most up-to-date edition of our book. And we talk about that specifically in the book, how to use this home equity line of credit to both pay off your primary mortgage, but also leverage and buy rental real estate. So I encourage you to go and check that book out on Amazon. However, let me say this about HELOCs, that again, it's your credit utilization rate, which is incredible. We've talked about this on previous episodes, but if you've got a home equity line of credit, and you go beyond 30% of the balance of that. So let's say you have a $100,000 balance or credit line. You start with zero, right? They extend to you this home equity line of credit. You get a zero balance when you start. And then you run it up to $30,000 limit. Well, now you're at that $30,000 threshold. And beyond that is when you're now exceeding the credit utilization rate that banks don't like. So if you're going to think about getting a mortgage or buying something else, they're going to say, oh, your HELOC balance is a little high. If it goes beyond that 30% threshold, then it can affect your credit score negatively, et cetera. So try to keep it below that. But the way that I love using a home equity line of credit, again, I run this down in the book, is I use it to as like a credit card, you know, and I'm constantly running purchases through it and buying rental real estate with it, and I'm paying down my primary mortgage with it. I'm doing these things simultaneously. So my home equity line of credit becomes like a well-oiled machine. The thing that I actually used my home equity line of credit for was to set it as an auto payment to pay down my primary balance of my main mortgage. Now, the way that this works is it's basically like a checking account. And some bankers don't even know you can do this. We actually had to educate the bank about this. And they called us back like, yeah, you actually can do that. So what we would do is I would set up my home equity line of credit as a direct deposit from my work when I had a W-2 job. So every time I got paid from my employment, it went right into that HELOC account. So let's say I had a $30,000 balance, right? Because I've been using it to buy real estate. Well, then I got paid that $3,000 that week from my job. And now guess what? It went directly to the balance on that home equity line of credit. And it went down to $27,000, right? Now that's the balance. And then I got paid next week again, $3,000. And then it went down to, you know, drops another $3,000. And it keeps, then it gets back down to zero, right? All from my direct deposit from my job. Now I'm buying groceries using this account. I'm doing other things as well. And then the balance in my checking account every month, instead of it just sitting there in a random checking account, it's actually being used to increase my equity position. So again, we cover all of this in the book. I know it sounds a little technical, but don't be scared of the home equity line of credit. Use it, buy real estate with it, in my opinion. Again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do with it, but I love the home equity line of credit. So thank you for that question. That's a great way to explode your wealth, especially if you're sitting on equity in your primary mortgage and your primary house. You cannot eat that equity. So put that equity to work, guys. Put it to work. It's money from a bank. If they're going to give you that leverage, then use it and use it to build up your net worth, okay, and buying cash flowing rental properties. Thank you for that question. All right, here's our next one.
Would a rooming house be a profitable investment?
Very quick and to the point question. A rooming house, would it be a profitable investment? Look, the answer is yes. So would buying a circus, like, right? A lot of things can be profitable investments if they're structured properly, I guess is what I'm saying, right? So, you know, buying a boarding house or a hostel or some sort of a rooming house, absolutely. Just the numbers need to make sense. So this is what, a lot of times I'll get questions like this from people, well-intentioned people who, they think that there's like a very narrow path to success in real estate because they don't know where to go. They don't know who to talk to. That's why I built our company. So you please give us a call. We will kind of talk you through like what we do in real estate. And then if you're still sort of stuck on the idea of a rooming house as the only way, then by all means, go for it. Just go to our website at Morris Invest and we'll help you with that. But let me just make the point. Because sometimes people like, I want to get started real estate investing. So they start talking to friends. And one of those friends will say, hey, there's a rooming house down the street or a boarding house down the street that's been on the market for like a year. I think that would be a good investment. You should look into it. And then they start kind of thinking about it and they start looking into it. And they're like, yeah, that's how I'm going to start making my money is with that thing that's been vacant down the street for a year. That's probably how I'm going to make some money. And they get excited about it. And they're very focused because it's in their backyard. But, you know, I want to caution you about stuff like that, because while it might be in your backyard and maybe someone suggested it or a local real estate agent kind of said, hey, yeah, we've got this rooming house that might be a good investment. Might be. There's a lot of, have you ever ran a rooming house before? Do you know what that looks like? I have friends that wanted to get involved in building senior homes, you know, 12 unit or 10 unit senior homes where you have to have like a 24-hour nurse on staff and those types of things. Yes, those can be very profitable if you know what you're doing. You have to understand regulations. You have to get approval. There's a lot that goes into that. You have to know what to do, right? So this might not be the best first investment that you make is buying a rooming house and then having to keep the upkeep and, you know, the cleaning and the staffing and all of those things. Okay. I just want to caution you about it. So yes, the answer is yes, it can be profitable. I don't know the details of it though. The numbers don't lie. And if someone's going to tell you that, hey, buy this thing because it's a great cash flowing vehicle, and you're not asking the difficult questions like, well, who manages it? What kind of repairs are needed on this property? How do we market the property so that tenants and people are constantly coming in here and filling this unit up? Who takes care of the food and the common area and all of those things? Again, be careful if this is your first investment. I just want to caution you on that. And like I said, our team is happy to kind of talk with you about this project. So book a call with our team and we'll kind of talk through that. If you just go to our website, morrisinvest.com, and that way you can share some of the details about this rooming house with our staff and we can, you know, we can play off the numbers and help you on the phone about that. Totally free. So going to totally help you with that for free. Anyway, while you're over at our website, there's a little microphone icon at morrisinvest.com. That's how you can leave us one of these voicemail questions and we'll attempt to answer it here on the show. I don't know everything. I don't have the answers for everything, but I've done thousands of real estate deals and we run a very successful full service rental real estate company in this crazy market. We've been through bull markets and bear markets and interest rate highs and interest rate lows, and we know what we're doing. So we attempt to answer those questions here on this show. We'll see you next time, everyone.